Monday night, Or Lachaf Iyar, Chayus Halvobus, Shar HaKniyah. We're in the third parak. Shar HaKniyah, the third parak, lists ten scenarios. This is what we want.
Just like this, yeah.
This is mamash what we want, yeah. Lists 10 scenarios in which a person instinctively, we'll call it, has Kniyah. Okay, I have to ask Ari Stern, first of all. One of them is going to be if a person's injured. So we're not making fun of you. Ten circumstances where a person instinctively has Kniyah. If you remember, the Chavis Halvavos Hashitas, that Kniyah is something you have vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not like the usual Musa Svarim, which talk about Anova vis-a-vis people, but we talk about a feeling of bittul, a feeling of humility, surrender. Feldman, Rabbi Feldman, Chavis Halvavos calls it surrender. Vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, in the 10 scenarios where you instinctively feel Kniyah, it's only 8, 9, and 10 that talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what is the Chavis Halvavos doing in this list of 10 scenarios where a person naturally feels Kniyah? Only 8, 9, and 10 is regarding Lagabi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Mefarshim have different approaches, what the Chavis Halvavos is trying to accomplish in this parak. I think the simplest explanation, so some learn that they're all the Gabi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, let's say number one, that a person is ill, he's laid up, or he's sick, mamish sick, or he is very weak and he has to stay. He's immobilized, he can't get around like he usually does. So he really says Sha'oz Yiyah Onov. If you look at number one, you know, it's hard, you know, let's say, in other words, if you would know someone that's very arrogant and obnoxious even, but you know, somehow when he's in a wheelchair and he has a cast on his leg, you see he's different, he talks differently, he acts differently, he instinctively becomes nichna. The very Metzius of being dependent on others, which is really what we're looking for, because the Kniyah to Hashem is that realization that despite all of your gifts and all of your talents, which you're fully aware of, you're aware of your gifts and your talents and your qualities, but you're totally dependent on Hashem. So this feeling of dependence is sort of instinctive and automatic. So the purpose of the 10 things is to make you realize that it's real. We said the Chavis Halvavos many times gives real life examples of emotions that he wants you to feel, and throughout the Sefer he gives examples of that people can relate to, because they say, oh, that's how I feel about my friend, that's how I feel if someone does this to me, this is how I feel about my parents. So here are 10 examples of Kniyah, so you say, oh, that's not how I'm supposed to feel. That's what I think really is the pshat in the 10 things. So we have number one is a person that's, let's say, immobilized, or he can't function because he's ill. Number two is a person that became poor and all of a sudden he needs people. So again, he's nichna, he needs people, he's not independent, he is dependent on others. That was, he's dependent on others because he's an oni. And it's interesting, you know, if you're naturally an oni, you don't feel that Kniyah. He's talking about someone that became an oni. So then he's nichna because of that change, and all of a sudden he needs people, so he's broken. He's broken because he used to be independent. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for someone who, right, remember Perek Bey, someone who stam feels dependent and needy, is an emotionally ill person. We're looking for someone, Chavis Halvavos says this many times, we're looking for someone who has a healthy self-image, and then he's nichla. He's nichla because he realizes that all of his qualities and gifts is dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why you'll notice, like in number one of the 10 scenarios, he says someone who became ill. In number two, he says someone who became an Ani. Number three is someone who, if someone, very interesting, number three, someone showers you with tovus. Like someone adopts you and someone says, come here, I like you, I'm going to pay up your mortgage, I'm going to send you through college, I'm going to marry you off and pay for the wedding, I'm going to buy you a house, I'm going to, right, and you're nichna to this person. Someone that you makabel a shefa of tov from, you naturally, you want to please him, you don't want him to get angry, and you feel a dependency on that person. That's number three. Number four is if you owe someone money and you can't pay it, you are naturally nichnat to him. You don't want to get him angry, you don't want to get him upset, you don't want to, you know, maybe he could throw you in prison. You feel botel to him. You feel like he owns a piece of you, so to speak. That was number four. Number five is a prisoner, and you're dependent on your captor for breakfast, lunch, supper, everything. Everything and anything. You feel that dependency. That's number five. Number six is a slave. Not necessarily a prisoner, but a slave. Sheinu yochel shachar atzmo miyad konehu nichna lo. And that's the pasuk. Hinei keini avodim miyad adoneihem keini shivchal yad gevirta keini einenu al Hashem elokeinu atshi yichoneinu. Number seven is someone who has yisurim. Things happen to him. Things happen. Things happen in his life, in her life, where you're nichna, because you realize that you're not in control of your life. You're in control. So again, to who are you nichna? It's not the fairest. To the Eibishter, it could be to the Eibishter if you realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is controlling everything, but his point is just, again, an example of where you'll be nichna, where you won't fit, you're not in control, right? He said, you're not in control, that's the kniya. The idea of kniya is that it's not up to you, you don't control what's happening to you. Okay, now we're up to 8, 9, 10, we'll stop on the top of Kuf Tzadik Ches. 8, 9, and 10. And this is already with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kasher yasa chesh bo nafsho mer yo lefnei Hashem. You know, a person catches himself and realizes, and it makes a chesh ben hanefesh, that he violates Hashem's will. But not stam. He realizes b'mesh ha'etiv lo. Chavis al lovis, if you've been learning Chavis HaLavas all along, so if you remember, one of the worst things you can do is take the gift that Hashem gives you, and instead of thanking Him for the gift and being Makir Tov, but you use it and you rebel. And then really every time every time a person does an Avera, that's what he's doing. He's using the gift of life that Hashem gave him. He's using the gift of thinking. Hashem enables him to think, to feel, to talk. So really this happens every time we're chote. We're really using Hashem's gifts, whether you realize it or not. So that could be a cheshbon hanefesh. Just the very fact that whatever you do, anytime you do an aveira, that's what you're doing. But in particular, you might realize it more strongly if it's a particular gift that you feel you have. Chavis HaLavas, remember, Lushitosei holds that if you feel gifted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a particular Indian, you have to respond by increasing your Avodas Hashem more than the norm. Right? If you've been learning 2 hours a day and all of a sudden face something, you feel a shefa of tova. Maybe a healthy child was born. Maybe you got a raise in your business, in your work, you got a raise, things are going well, you feel, so then you have to increase. You have to increase, not decrease, you have to increase. So instead the person decreased, and he makes this cheshbon hanefesh, and he realizes that he's taking Hashem's gifts and he's using it to to violate Hashem's will, u'ti'iyosu b'b'mokam lodus lo aleho, when that realization dawns on a person, and again, it's not so rachok, because really every time we do an aveira, it would be totally legitimate and logical to feel that that's what we're doing, because that is what we're doing every time we do an aveira. Yikone v'yikolem v'yevosh mi'Hashem yisala. It's like you feel a kniya because you feel embarrassed. It's like, you know, someone gave you a gift and you used it to break into his house and steal from him, and then he caught you. So he catches you using what he gave you against him. So there's that's kniya. That's, you feel botel. You feel, you melt. You feel, you should. I mean, you feel embarrassed, he says, and you feel meshubah to the person. You feel botel to him. You feel like you can never make it up to him. How could you have done that? And that bitul is kniya, is a form of kniya that, again, he's trying to give you a sense of kniya. He's giving you 10 things that are in everyday life where you would feel kniya. Ka'omro l'kai, and he calls the pasuk in Ezra, boshti v'nechlamti l'arim l'kai p'nei alecha ki avon osena ravu l'mal arosh v'ashma osena godlad l'shamoyim. So that's how you feel. You feel like you can't lift up your face. There's busha. The busha is a very powerful emotion. It has to do, it ties into kniya. Okay, that's number 8. So that cheshbon ha-nefesh, that you're using Hashem's gifts against him. Number 9 is interesting. Number 9 is istam, in bo alav yisuri Hashem v'sochachto, and you relate it to al hamroso es mishmato, and you take it as musar, you take it as Hashem speaking to you and Hashem punishing you actually for something you've done wrong. Yikona v'yachrad, like you come face to face with Hashem's musar, with Hashem's onesh, with Hashem's power to punish you. The koach of yiras ha'onesh, even, you know, we say it's a low madrega, halafai, we should have it. So yikona v'yachrad ka'omro al'achav, we just learned this in Nachan this past week, ha'ra'isa ki nichna achav milafonoi, that the Eibishter immediately accepted Achav's tshuva. He did a terrible things. This is the story of Eliyahu HaNavi. This is the story with Novos, Haratzachta v'gam Yerashta. But when he was told the punishment that awaits him, he was nichna. He realized, and he was nichna, and Hashem said, Hara'isa ki nichna Achav b'lefonoi. So that's okay. And number 10 is a person will be nichna when if he visits a cemetery, so to speak. Kasher margish kirvas hamavis. This is what a person feels when he realizes, the T-shirt. I plan on living forever. So far, so good. He realizes that it's not a joke. he's over the hill, right? The chalois ha'asayin olav, it hits him. Maybe it hits him because someone he knows died, so it hits him. Maybe it hits him. Anytime a person makes a cheshbon ha'nefesh, he knows that this is self. He only has a certain amount of time to accomplish what he was sent to this world to accomplish. Right? The Balim also talk about people think they're going to live forever. They act as if they're going to live forever. B'choshev al mora hamavis v'yom hadin, so certainly yikone v'tishbal rucho, so this, again, we're looking for a kniya that you feel despite all of your gifts and all of your qualities, you're a good person, and right, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but you are nichna, you're botel, you are humbled, so you can be humbled by the thought of an onesh, you can be humbled by the embarrassed that I'm going. Number 9 is you can be humbled by the thought of an onesh. Number 8 was you can be humbled by the embarrassment that you feel of the very fact that you're using Hashem's gifts in a bad way. And number 10 is you're humbled by the thought of moves. V'chashav al mora hamoves v'yom hadin yikone v'sishbal ruchov v'sashuach nafsho alav. These are all really lishonos from Tehillim. Be ischoret alav den chayov. He wasted his life. If he, You know, if he thinks over his life, he could think this way. Uklos yomod belisha yitztayed, without arming himself, without preparing himself, b'mayisim tovim, she'el kulafon of beis p'tiroso. So he's nichna. He said, you know, despite everything he is and he does, he's helpless. He's totally at Hashem's mercy. He needs Hashem's mercy. Kamro pochtu b'tzion chatoyim, achozor odo chanefim, miyorgulonu esh ochelum, miyorgulonu moktei olam. The Chazalovas does not want... This is not ideal. The ideal is nothing bad happened to you, and you don't even have to contemplate modus, but just you contemplate Hashem's godless. This is not here. These are things where it will come onto you in a natural, instinctive way. The avoda of kniya is the avoda of what we learned in Tanya, contemplating Hashem's hakel, hagodol, hagibur, v'hanora, the Rambam's description of looking at nature, miyad hu nirta la'achorav, you get scared, like you come back and you feel puny, you feel small. Sometimes you can feel this way if you go on a nature hike. Face, sometimes it could happen, you look up in the sky and you see like, you know, millions, billions of stars. Like sometimes you see like an open sky, and you realize that you're very puny and almost insignificant. So I'm saying if you feel be'etzem insignificant, that's no good. But if you feel you know what you're capable of, but then you look up and you see where you fit into the scheme of things in the universe, and you're humbled by godless Hashem. So that's the kniya that he wants you to have. These 10 things were not the way you should live. Not even the last three. I mean, maybe the last one, you should think about the possibility of modus. But that's an eitzah. That's not ideal. The ideal kniya is to develop it only, it should be enough, through contemplation of godless Hashem and how puny you are. Really, the Rambam in Hilchos Deos is the best description of that, how you are nirsal la'achorav when you contemplate Hashem's greatness.